When historians look back at the events in Southern California in 2003, they'll see the loss of 750,000 acres to the worst wildfires in state history. Even one website, seemingly designed to appeal to eco-tourists, suggests blame for the catastrophe will likely go to, in their words, arson, lightning strikes, stupid cigarette smokers, or ignorant outdoorsmen. The authors of a new book would like to point out one other cause: industrial forestry and the governments that enable it. In fact, before the smoke had even settled in California, logging interests were at it again, using the fire as an excuse to log yet more trees, though the science seems to indicate that industrial logging makes big forest fires more big and more likely. George Straffen runs the Public Information Network, a sort of corporate watchdog, digging up research on the corporations whose only god is money. He's the co-author of Strangely Like War, The Global Assault on Forests. And he's here to give us his take on why we are repeating history, even though for thousands of years we've known that deforestation leads to disaster. George, a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
A real intense book.
Yeah, well, it's an intense thing that's happening when most of the world's original forests are now gone.
You co-wrote this book with Derek Jensen. Give us a sense of how you guys came together and decided to write this book at this time.
We met a little over 10 years ago, and we were brought together by the Lands Council in Spokane to work on the Railroads and Clear Cuts campaign, and we co-authored the book that was written for that campaign. And in that book, we were looking mostly at the northwestern forests in Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, and how the federal government had given much of those forests to railroad corporations 100 years ago, and how those railroad corporations had turned around and given it to mining and timber companies. And in this new book, we're looking at the same problems on a global scale. What's happening here in the Northwest is also happening around the world, and the forests are disappearing.
What was working with Derek like? Can you give us a sense of the process?
It's intense. Derek's definitely a writer. I do research and reports for environmental groups and labor unions and community groups. But I'm not really a writer for publication ordinarily. I don't spend my days doing that. Derek does that, so he's much more connected with people that are reading. He does a lot of public speaking. He goes to a lot of campuses. So he's more in touch with the reading public, and that makes it a more intense process.
You don't live in the same state, so do you go back and forth by email, or does one write it and one correct it, or how's that work?
Yeah, we go back and forth. Yeah, we write... Derek tends to write from, he writes page one and then page two and then page three. I don't know how he writes a whole book like that. I just kind of write whatever I'm working on and then cut and paste it. But yeah, he lives in California and I live up here in Puget Sound. So we go back and forth by email and telephone.
In these days of budget cuts, library closing, cuts in medical benefits to the needy, why isn't there more awareness of the tax subsidies going on to corporations who decimate our forests and endanger our health? Can you give us a sense of some of those subsidies and why you think it happens?
Yeah, the forest industry worldwide is subsidized, but that's true of most industries. If you look at most industrial sectors, if they actually had to pay for their toxic waste cleanup, if they actually had to pay living wages, if they weren't getting taxpayer subsidies, they wouldn't survive. So the entire system is based on corporate subsidies, but that's especially true in the natural resource industries. And one of the things we found in doing the research for the book, for example, is that about half of the logging in the world is illegal. So simply if the stumpage fees and taxes were paid, say, in Brazil and Indonesia, that would change the timber industry in itself.
When you say it's illegal, it violates the laws that each country has to create some kind of safeguards regarding forestry.
The environmental rules for say dragging logs through streams are illegal, not obeyed. But also often, like in Siberia and in Indonesia and Brazil, the loggers don't even pay for the trees. The trees are publicly owned, and they're supposed to pay a certain amount per board foot for the trees that they're cutting and exporting, and those fees aren't even paid. So, like in Cambodia, the government receives less than 10% of what it should for what's being taken out.
One would argue that those laws that are in existence probably aren't strong enough anyway, and so those weak laws, is what you're saying, are pretty much violated half the time.
Yeah, I would argue that the laws aren't strong enough. The book Strangely Like War ends up being depressing on a certain level. Over three quarters of the world's forests are already gone. Many of the native cultures that have evolved in those forests are disappearing. It's not a pretty picture, and yet we're not completely blind to the things that could be done. We suggested controls on consumption, recycling laws, pollution prevention, like in pulp and paper mills, the taxpayer subsidies, sustainable forestry rules, restoration of places that have already been cut. Those are all things that can be done and would help, and in many countries there are already laws regarding those things on the books that simply aren't being followed.
Well, let's talk about those subsidies. The building of roads to enable logging, first of all. I mean, more roads. You thought the interstate highway system had a lot of roads, but the roads in the forest, logging roads, dwarf that.
Right, yeah. And
all paid for by tax dollars. This is not something, this is an investment that you and I make in the deforestation of our own forests.
Right. The American taxpayer is actually paying to have the national forest logged. Most Americans don't even realize that there's logging in the national forest. They think they're like the national parks or something where there's no resource extraction, and that's simply not true.
So the building of the logging roads are subsidized, and a lot of this logging that happens, the logs are not even being used in this country. You know, when you look at Canada, if for someone who's a Canadian patriot, most of the forests in BC are going elsewhere, to Asia or to the United States.
Yeah, and I've heard some estimates that Canadian logging companies, many of which are subsidiaries of American companies, those logging companies in BC are paying $10 or $15 per truckload for the timber that they're taking out of old growth forests.
Yeah. And then large companies, when it comes time to figuring out how much they pay in taxes, that's not the case. It's how much they get from taxes, really. You know, a rebate, basically, is what you're suggesting in the book.
Right. Right. Many of the large companies, Weyerhaeuser and International Paper and Georgia Pacific, depending on the subsidiary and depending on the year, they actually don't pay income taxes. The corporate income tax rate in the U.S. is 35%, but very few of the large companies pay anywhere near that.
Where do you get that information?
It's in the annual reports of the companies. It's in general accounting office reports that are done by the U.S. Congress. Every year the Taxpayers for Common Sense and other nonprofit organizations publish reports that show which companies are paying taxes and which aren't. So the information's out there, but people are overwhelmed. They're watching mass media, television, things like that, and they don't hear about it, but it's out there if you look.
So you see media as a co-conspirator in this ignorance regarding the deforestation paid for by our tax dollars.
Yeah, I think the mass media, I think the public school system is partly to blame. I think the government itself is paying for taking tax money and losing the public domain. That's one of the things that we tried to show in the book, is that many people look at clear-cutting or pollution from pulp and paper as an environmental problem, and it's not really an environmental problem. It's an economic and political problem, and ultimately it's a social problem. It's a cultural problem that the people are not even in touch enough with their own environment, their own surroundings, to realize what's happening.
Talking with George Draffin, he's the co-author of Strangely Like War, The Global Assault on Forests. I'm Paul Nelson. Let's go back to the notion of how these California fires, in large part, can be traced back to industrial logging. How does that lead to bigger and more destructive forest fires?
Yeah, that the whole California fire thing is an example of media and Congress and the political situation taking advantage of anything to kind of keep the system going. The majority of fires in forests are caused by lightning strikes. But most of those lightning fires are very small, just a few acres, and they go out, especially in the old growth forests where there's not that much undergrowth, there's not that much dry tinder under the trees. So the big trees don't burn. You have a fire that burns an acre or two. Some of the shrubbery under the trees burns, and that's it. Most of the large fires and most of the acres that are burned in forest fires are actually caused by logging operations themselves. So the entry of industrial logging and bulldozers and road building into natural forests is actually the major cause of most acres that burn. The California situation was interesting because 500,000 acres or 600,000 acres in Southern California burned, but those weren't forest fires. Those were in suburban San Diego, in chaparral and desert, and in the suburbs. So you put thousands, tens of thousands of houses in a desert area, a dry area, and then the kids run around and smoke cigarettes and the people go camping and hunting and you end up with fires. But it had nothing to do with forest fires. It had nothing to do with the timber industry. There is no timber industry in Southern California. So the media and Congress jumped on that. And the people in Congress who are doing the bidding for the timber industry used that as an excuse. There's now the law that passed a week after those California fires is going to log 20 million acres around the U.S. And most of that is in Montana, Idaho. It's in places where there are big trees, where there is a big timber industry, and the whole California fire deal was an excuse to log in other places.
When we look at history, we look at the upper Midwest and the forest fires there that were exacerbated by what you called the extractive forestry practices of the 1800s and early 1900s.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, actually, in an area that Weyerhaeuser had clear-cut and deforested in the 1800s. And then when I moved out here to the Northwest, I discovered that Weyerhaeuser had beat me to it, and they were logging here. And they're now logging in Latin America. They've logged in Asia. They've tried to get contracts in Siberia. So Weyerhaeuser is everywhere, and that's again, one of the reasons we wrote the book was that the big companies that environmentalists have been fighting in this country are now overseas, and the same processes are taking place. So the timber industry, the pulp and paper industry, the lumber industry, the plywood industry are now global markets, and there's no difference between the problems here and the problems in Brazil or Indonesia.
Well, let me take on their side for a moment, if I can do that. Some of the arguments are that we have more trees than we did 30 years ago.
Well, that's not true. Even if you account for the fact that they're counting little seedlings, there's very little comparison between a tree that's 5 inches in diameter and is about to be pulped in 5 or 10 years, like they grow in Brazil, and a 1,000 or 1,500-year-old cedar tree in the Northwest. So a tree is a bunch of trees don't make a forest. And that's what we're talking about in the book. We're talking about natural ecosystems with fish, wildlife, and human cultures. And you don't have those in a tree plantation.